when they put him on my chest right after he came out of me, it was like, oh my God, he is really a little baby and he's really here. And I wouldn't change it for anything. And now looking back, I mean, I definitely regret continuing using drugs during my pregnancy.
Darian Dykes has struggled with heroin addiction since she was 15 years old. Over the years, she had numerous failed attempts at getting clean. She found out she was pregnant last year and, despite her best efforts, struggled with her addiction through most of her pregnancy. As a consequence, her baby was born dependent on the drug. This is known as neonatal abstinence syndrome, or NAS, in which the baby experiences drug withdrawal symptoms. Tennessee has seen a tenfold increase in NAS over the last decade. There are no known long-term effects, and the baby can usually be weaned off the drug within a few weeks after birth.
Yes, a lot of the babies are showing great progress after several weeks, but that doesn't make the behavior of the mothers okay. Recovery is a complicated, long process, but for many of these women, there's no motivation to get that help.
Do addicted pregnant women need the state to provide motivation to seek help? Shelby County District Attorney Amy Wyrick thinks so. She's an advocate for Tennessee Chapter 820, a law that allows for a woman to be prosecuted for assault for the illegal use of a narcotic drug while pregnant if her child is born harmed by those drugs. Tennessee is the first state to criminalize substance abuse for pregnant women. The sentence could range from 1 to 15 years in prison. It went into effect this past July.
The way to address a health crisis, it's with the Department of Health.
Thomas Castelli of Tennessee's American Civil Liberties Union says women's civil rights are being violated.
I agree with the people who say we need to address this problem. What I disagree with is that the solution is to put people in jail or into our criminal justice system.
But Ryrick says that's not the law's intent.
The options that are available for women that are charged under this are drug court and the drug court treatment that is provided through those courts. If you successfully complete the requirements of drug court, your charges are dismissed and they're expunged from your record as if it never happened. And what we hope to do is get these women some help for their addiction.
However, up to 70% of all drug court participants will not complete the program, according to a 2005 government report. And if they fail the program, then jail time is the alternative. Opponents point out that this creates a strange paradox. On the one hand, if an addict successfully complies with the drug court, she is overcoming an illness. But if she relapses, then she's treated as a criminal.
Violates the Eighth Amendment. The Supreme Court determined that it would be cruel and unusual to punish people for having a status or having an illness. And in that case, it was a California law that criminalized being a drug addict. So we think this law actually does the same thing. It criminalizes the illness of addiction.
But if criminalizing their addiction motivates them to find treatment, isn't that helping addicts in the long run?
Threatening them with the criminal justice system doesn't help when you're living in a state that doesn't have enough addiction treatment centers as it is, generally, much less for women who are pregnant.
Drug overdose is the leading cause of death in Tennessee. But there are only 19 treatment facilities in the entire state that offer care for pregnant women, and only 2 that provide prenatal care and allow a woman's existing children to accompany her to treatment, a necessity for many of these lower-income single mothers. This shortage has created long wait lists that range from a few weeks to a few months.
The biggest fear we have is that it actually will deter women from seeking prenatal medical attention altogether, for fear of being prosecuted.
Darian beat the odds and was lucky enough to receive care from Dr. Jessica Young, the leading doctor at Vanderbilt's Drug Dependency Clinic for Pregnant Women. Luckily, she gave birth 1 month prior to the law's implementation. With a doctor's help, Darian's been clean now for 9 months and has a healthy baby boy.
When I realized I was pregnant, you know, it took me by shock for a day or two, and then I finally, the maternal instinct kicked in at that point, and knowing that I was going to be a mother and, you know, a child depends on their mother. So I needed to do the right thing for him. Basically, I need to quit being so selfish.
Dr. Young says this is natural. She states, pregnancy is often a really motivating time for these women to get their lives turned around, so we really have a critical time to work with them. This is a population of women who are already scared. They're already very distrustful in general of authority and the medical establishment, and it takes a long time for them to build up trust. So this bill will make that harder. Considering the high dropout rate of compulsory rehab programs and unreliable access to treatment facilities, Dr. Young might be right. State-mandated treatment is unnecessary and even harmful.
Women that are in this situation aren't monsters. I mean, if they are going to threaten these women like this, they need more treatment programs.
As for Darian, she plans on maintaining her successful drug recovery for the years to come.
I mean, just the joy he brings me from hearing the little giggle or seeing the little smile. I mean, there's nothing else that can beat that in life. There's no drug that can give you that feeling.